Praise God. Turn in your Bible to, we've got here, Psalm 118, verse 6, and Psalm 124, and verse 8. We're going to read the Psalm 118, verse 6 in the King James, and then we're going to read it in the New Living Translation, and we're going to go to 124, verse 8 in the Amplified Bible. God is with us in our time of trouble. And we're talking about God with us. God is with us. He's with us all the time. God's here right now. He's here in the bad times and the good times. And we need to recognize those precious words from the Bible. Psalm 118, verse 6, King James Version says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" The New Living Translation says, "The Lord is for me." The Lord is for me. It's good to know that the Lord is on your side. It's good to know that the Lord is for you. He said, "So I will have no fear." It's good to know that if he's for you, then you don't have to fear anything. What can mere people do to me? That's Psalm 118, verse 6. In Psalm 124, verse 8, it says, "Our help is in the name of our Lord, who has made heaven and earth." So we all, from time to time, experience trouble. Sometimes our own personal trouble. Other times we suffer trouble through other people. How many ever experience trouble through other people? Not that they're attacking you, but because they're hurting, affects you. You know, we affect each other, don't we? We affect one another. We affect, our decisions affect, are affected, or at least our decision we made affects other people. Thank God we can do that in a positive way too. So we want to say again that God is on our side, and He is for us. He's working for us. He's actually working for you right now. He's doing something for you right now. And the awesome thing to know that when we've been praying to God and we've asked God to do something for us, you know, He's doing something. He's working for you. He's doing something right now. When you pray for certain things, He goes to work for you unless you take it back. If you take it back, you know, sometimes somebody was explaining like the prayer of casting your care upon the Lord. You know, we pray, you know, what's that scripture? Philippians 4:6. Let's look at that Philippians 4:6 for a second. Let's look at it, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says in here, let's look at it, the screen here. I don't have it on my notes because I could pull it up, but it says, the New Living says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done." Let's look at it in the King James. Let's look at what it says in King James. "Be careful for nothing." You know, we carry a lot of cares. You know, we can carry burdens and things that can weigh you down. These things weigh you down and it gets kind of heavy, doesn't it? He says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication." You know, supplication is very taking very much care with your burden and bring it to God. And it's not something that, you know, is a casual thing. This is very heartfelt. The scripture talks about heartfelt supplication, something heartfelt. And then it says, by this care that you have, when you bring it to God, it says you bring it with thanksgiving. You know what the prayer of thanksgiving is? See, there's a few prayers in here. That's he's mentioning, and not just one prayer. How many people know that different prayers they go together? You don't just pray one prayer and you know, leave one out, but You know, all the prayers that we pray is based on, kind of centers around the prayer of faith, doesn't it? The prayer of faith is that you pray and you believe God that He's going to do it. You can't do one without the other. You can't pray this casting your care upon God, because you know He cares for you, so you're going to give it to God. And then you say, God, take care of this situation here. And you leave that situation and you walk away from it, and then somehow it kind of comes back to you. Has anybody ever experienced that? It's like somebody talked about the sticky flypaper. Remember the sticky flypaper? How many of you remember that? You know, you stick that flypaper on the wall or on top of your ceiling, and it hangs down, and a bunch of flies get on there, get stuck on there. And if you ever touch it, it really sticks to you. But so if you're praying, sometimes that you release that prayer, and then it kind of comes back to you. You know, so you have to learn how to leave it there. Leave it there, so it tries to get back on you. So you know God is for you. He wants to take care of your needs, and He's going to help you. But somehow these things come back to us. See, you can't pray the prayer of casting your care upon the Lord unless you have faith. You're going to have to believe that He can take care of this. He's going to, if you actually don't have faith, and you cast this care seemingly on Him, then you're going to take it back because you don't believe God is going to do a good job with it. So you have to continue to worry a little bit and figure out how you can fix it up yourself. Now, I'm talking about, you know, like real needs, things that are really important to you that are kind of like almost like death, life and death matter, or you're going to lose your house or something, you know. These are the things you want to cast to God. He says, we cast every care or everything to God with supplication, with heartfelt, you know, ability. And we do it with thanksgiving, because we know that God, you know, there's a prayer called prayer of thanksgiving. That's when you praise God and thank Him because He's wonderful. You know, anybody can thank God. Anybody can start praising and thanking God for all he's done. So you have to thank Him. You see, what thanksgiving means, you're going to do it in advance. You're going to thank Him in advance. Why? Because you believe that He took your cares. Because He cares for you. Because He loves you. Because He's on your side. And so, you know, notice it says, with thanksgiving, let your requests. See, nobody can do this for you. And a lot of, like I always tease, you know, about this part here. We all take this to Facebook. And somehow we put it on Facebook. Somehow we think somebody out there got the answer for you. And they're going to somehow, I don't know, they have a better angle for, you know, to God than you do. And they might get it for you. Well, how do you know that? How do you know if they got it for you? So that you have to understand by faith, right? See, there's nobody better concerned about your prayer life and your needs than yourself. So we have to learn how to cast our cares on the Lord. We have to do it ourselves. This is something we do for ourselves. Because no one can do it for you. You can ask me, like sometimes often people say, pray for me, you know, pray for me. Well, you know, if you did that all the time, you'd be praying constantly around the clock. Because there's a lot of people to pray for. Some of them are real hard things you need to pray continually. So we need to do this ourselves with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto Facebook. Do you see it over there? Or let it be made known unto whoever you're saying. No, we bring our prayer request to God. See the word G-O-D. Okay? That's God. So God's your Father. Let me introduce you to your Father. His name is God. And He cares for you. Amen. The Bible says He cares for every detail of your life. Amen. So He knows everything about you. And sometimes we have to educate ourselves spiritually, knowing that God knows everything about you. There's nothing in your heart that He does not know about. He knows how much heaviness you have in your heart, how much concerns you have. And we need to take our care to God and say, Lord, here's what I have. I want to cast this care on you. And all of a sudden, you're walking down the road, they all of a sudden come back on you. Oh, what if what if this happens? Or what if that happens? Anybody ever happen to them that way? And so you have to, this is something that we continually have to do, is leave it there and make sure. Because if you got it still, and you're worried about it, and you're concerned about it, and you're trying to figure out, in your own power how to make it work. Of course, you have to do certain things, stand and do whatever. But if you're still worried about it, and you're still nervous about it, then you still have it. God doesn't have it. And you're going to have that as long as you stay that way. It could be for years. It takes a long time to learn to do this. You must get to learn it now. Because you don't want to be stressed out for the rest of your life. Like sometimes people don't want to learn this. This is so basic. But there's lots of folks don't learn it yet. They haven't learned it yet. They still have it. They still have the care. They'll still have the worry. And so how do you know they still have it? Well, they still are full of anxiety. They're still full of their speaking. They tell everybody about what's going on and how bad it is and how much they're suffering. And it's pretty tough out there. And if you talk like that, that means you still got it. But if you just switch it around and say, hey, God's got it. How's it going? Oh, praise God, it's good. God's doing well. He's helping me. He's on my side. So it's kind of, so we have to get somehow convinced and understand that this is what God wants us to do. Let's go to 1 Peter. The same thing goes along with 1 Peter over here. In fact, I should have read the scriptures before that, but let's go ahead in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, let's go to verse 4 or 5 first. Let's go to 5. Okay. Likewise, younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all you be subject to one another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and give grace unto the humble. 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Let's go ahead and read the rest. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour. So, it says in there, whom resist, in other words, you resist, steadfast in the faith, or steadfast with your faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So it's nice to know that other people are suffering the same thing you're suffering. Isn't that what it is? You share your hopes and your strength and your experience with somebody. You say, I had that before. I got over that. But there's some people who say, I had that. I know somebody who had your problem, but they died. Pretty encouragement. Pretty big encouragement. you don't want to have that kind of friend. So we need to see that God is for us. And he wants us to cast any kind of care you have in your heart. I'm sure if we went around here and asked anybody, what do you care about? What kind of heaviness you have in your heart? What do you got? Everybody would have something in their heart that's a heavy thing, that's very concerning for them. Lately, I've seen a whole pile of people with different cares. People dying. People with lots of sickness. People losing loved ones. People out of money, they're concerned, they have mental health situations going on. There's all kinds of cares. And we got to turn to God. Everyone in this room needs to learn how to cast their care upon the Lord. God doesn't want you to care for any one of them. Let's go ahead and read the rest. Verse 7 or verse 10. But the God of all grace, who had called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, we don't like that word suffer, pretend it's not there. After you suffered a while, make you perfect and establish and strengthen you. The things that happen sometimes in people's lives, the things that have given you the trouble the most is going to be somewhere you're going to be strong in that area. Huh? So the thing that brought you down, the thing that the devil tried to bring you away to throw you down, is something that's going to be strong on. He strengthens you. He settles you. He establishes you. Get matured when we're going through different trials. So, to him be glory forever and glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He stops right there. But let's go back to our scripture here. The Lord is for you. You need to know the Lord is for you. So you're going to, if he's for you, then you can cast your care on him. Cast your worries on him. Cast your burdens on him. Anything that's bothering you tonight, you can put that on him and he is going to take care of it. And so, we need to know that God's on our side. He's with us. He's for us. He will strengthen you. He will empower you. He'll enable you to do things you can't do on your own. He'll give you the ability to stand during tough times when you can't stand by yourself. When you go through trials, you know, sometimes you say, well, I can't take this. We've said this before, I know. You know, we said, you know, if this happens again, I don't know how I can do it again. You know, we talked about the scripture. You know, what is that scripture again? What's that scripture again? Because we were talking about that scripture the other day. When the Lord turned the captivity. Remember that? What is it? What's the verse of scripture? Because I have it in my. So it's in the Psalms, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion. Okay, you find the scripture. I'm going to continue to read this. Let's go ahead and read this. Somebody's got Google. Somebody's got the Bible verse. You know, I could just pick that up myself to go my thing. And I can find it in actually seconds if I have my phone here. So is that scripture up there or don't I see it? What scripture were we on? Well, I mean, the one we were reading. What was 1 Peter 5? So we'll get back there when the guy's back there. Okay, so I might as well just find it myself. I'll use this right there. I'll just get this myself. What does it say? Huh? What does it say? So, pardon? When the Lord, thank you. She found it. She's a Bible school student. And it only took her 2 days to be in Bible school and she got this. She probably remembered by heart. And she didn't want to yell it out. So, this girl is so young and we didn't all know this scripture. So when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. You know, who is Zion? In the book of Hebrews says Zion is the church. I mean, you go ahead and find that scripture. It talks about in there that in Hebrews it says Zion is called the church. And so actually Zion there means Jerusalem or Israel, okay? But Zion, you know, Paul talks about Zion as, where's Zion? He identifies the church of living God as Zion. We are Zion. So we're you know, the new covenant people of God. So these guys got captivated because of disobedience. You know, so they got captivated. No, God never planned their captivity, but they got captured because they went off track. How many people know if you just get off track, you can get into trouble? Get out of the will of God. And how many people know you don't have to go and, you know, really, like we say, they're really sinners. They're really bad sinners. Oh, they drink. And they commit adultery. But you can just be as bad as those people sitting in your chair. With gossip and you know, all these other kind of, you know, and hatred and resentment. Those are called spiritual sinners, spiritual sins. You know, and God, we have to watch. So when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. So our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said the Lord among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. The Lord had done great things for us. Like, you know, he is for us, isn't he? He is for us, wherefore we're glad. I'm glad that God's for me. Now let's go back to the first verse of Scripture again. We see something here I want to see. This is the King James, and sometimes, you know, you get paraphrased Bibles, and they take certain words off there because they want to paraphrase it. So notice that the Lord turned again the captivity. How many times did he redeem them, or how many times did he, you know, got them away from their enemies? Lots of times. So I want to tell you something. The devil is telling somebody here, this time, this is it for you. I know the Lord helped you last time. The Lord helped you last time, but this time, this is it. This is your roll call. You're not going to get out of this one. And so we need to understand that the Lord will do it again. He'll help you again. Whatever trouble you're in, He'll help you again, and He'll help you again, and He'll help you again, because there's a new day tomorrow, and He'll help you again and again and again. God's a loving, kind God. That's what I like about that, because He's going to help you no matter how many times you get into trouble. Sometimes we step into an area where we are, you know, not knowledgeable about. We make mistakes. People make mistakes and get into trouble, and they have weaknesses. How many of you don't have a weakness in here? Let me see your hand. You don't have a weakness. Throw that man out. Or we'll pray for you, extra prayer tonight. But you see, everybody has certain weaknesses. So what I'm strong in, maybe you're not so good at it. And what you're good at, maybe I'm not so great at it. So everybody has certain things, particularly you're growing up, you have certain weaknesses, maybe tendencies or whatever it is, and you're weak in that area. Maybe you happen to fall a little bit more in certain areas than another person. Well, God's going to help you again. And you just pick yourself back up and let Him help you, because He's for you. He's not against you. Amen? So, you know, we have an enemy, and he wants to steal from you. His MO, his modus operandi, is to try to kill you and steal from you and destroy from you everything. Everything good in your life, he doesn't want it to happen in your life. He wants to steal from you. But you're going to have to sit down and talk to yourself a little bit, and talk to God, and know that, you know, I don't know about you, I talk to myself. And I find it works pretty good, because I listen to myself. And if you counsel yourself, tell yourself about what the Word says. You say, hey, you know what, we can do this, the Lord's on our side. He's greater than the enemy that's here. You know, 1 John 4:4 said, he that is inside of you is greater than he that's in the world. And you know, he's not going to let you down. If you don't, you know, of course you have to resist the enemy. You're going to have to stand and be strong with whatever situation you're in. So, the Bible says, the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. So Zion's us, whatever's affecting your life, no matter what challenge it is, you're going to overcome that again. The Lord is going to help you get through whatever situation that you're walking through right now. Maybe it's a difficult season again. You've seen this over before last time. And you have to tell yourself, you know what? I've seen this before, and I'm going to go through this, and I'm going to start praising God, and thanking him, like it says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You know, it says that we take every care to the Lord with thanksgiving and praise him for it. Praise him for the answer, looking ahead so that we can praise the answer. Now, we read this scripture last time, Deuteronomy 20, verse 1 to 5. He said, when you go to fight your enemies and you face horses and chariots, an army greater than your own, do not be afraid. So it's quite natural to be fearful of whatever you're facing. Whatever challenge, it could be a physical challenge. Could be a financial challenge. It could be a relational challenge with someone, a family, a person, whoever relationship issue that you have. The Lord is saying you don't be afraid of it. How many people know that fear causes people to recoil and walk away from it and just leave it? But you're not fighting this battle on your own. You're not fighting this battle on your own. God's grace is going to be there to help you, strengthen you, empower you. And as long as you walk away and say it can't be done, then it can't be done. But if you say that God is for me, who can be against me? You know, we're going to make it. Amen? Let's go to verse 4. The Lord, your God, is going with you. He's not going to let you go out alone unless you're doing things on your own, if you're walking away from them. You know, how many people, notice it says the Lord your God is going with you and he'll fight for you against your enemies. He will give you victory. This is the New Living Translation I'm reading. He'll give you victory. In other words, you're not facing the trial alone. He's right there with you. You're not going to face the trial alone. Because sometimes, you know, I had someone send me a note the other day. He said, you know, I just feel so alone. I recognize why he's that. He doesn't go to church, doesn't read his Bible. He doesn't have a church to go to. He doesn't have a church like you. And he doesn't have a pastor that could give him the word or a leadership that could give him the word. But he's all alone out there. He has no friends. He said, I just feel so alone. And I think even sometimes Christians can feel so alone that they're so alone and you're the only one that's standing. But no, you know what? Hey, the same devil has been attacking all kinds of people around here. Has he been around your place? Knocks on the door. Is Jerry home? Yeah. I got a package for him here. What's that package? Oh, it's a little bit of depression. He'll take some of it. No. There's a little bit of fear and a little bit of sore gut. You know? So he'll try to attack you. So it says in here that when you're facing your enemy could be anything that's going to come against you. Your devil. Your enemy. How many people know, you know, people don't realize this, that devils can attack people. Christians, if a Christian allows the devil to attack him, he will attack people. That's why the Bible says, be careful, Satan, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking who he may devour. He's talking to Christians. And he'll come around knocking on your door. Come out to play. Jerry, you've been knocking there for a long time. Come out to play. And he wants to attack. You know, he'll just give you something nice, nice and shiny to bring you out. Come and try this nice vodka. Let's just play with the bottle. You don't have to drink it. Eh? And look at how shiny it is. Did you know that some people drink this bottle? They get happy. You need some. You had a hard time. You've been sober for a long time, haven't you? You deserve a little nip once in a while. Who's going to know anyway? Come on. I remember even a few years ago, I had some stress coming on, you know. You ever get stressed out? Well, I was getting stressed because I was trying to carry some load. I shouldn't be carrying any load, but I was getting tired, and I was thinking about, you know, man, just, you know, a beer would be so good. Just a nice glass of cold beer. You know? Some of you would be like, let's just have a pizza. Nice, hot, dripping with all kinds of, extra cheese and, you know. Or wouldn't you just like a nice cigarette? You know? Whatever's bugging you, like whatever is your flesh. But for me, for some reason, just for this a little second, it came, you know. There's nobody in here that's so holy that the devil is not going to never come by you and entice you. He said, oh, we don't go to Jerry's house. Oh, he's too holy. No, they want to go, if he's really holy, they'll go extra over there. Huh? So he'll come by. The devil will come by and he'll entice you. He'll talk to you. And he said, you remember that problem you had before? Well, you know, it's probably going to get worse. And especially, go ahead and Google it. And so you Google it. It tells you everybody that died from it. Huh? I know there's people that just diagnosed their own problems and they found out they're not even sick, and they're all of a sudden they're really sick with all kinds of stuff. Right? What if it happens to you? It's your turn. But so the devil, see, you have to know that God's with you. When you know he's with you, then you can fight back. You can fight back. Because you know when you know he's there with you, he's not going to let you go down. You know you can have the victory over every time. So he says, Lord your God is going with you. Notice that he's going with you in the fight for you against your enemies. He will give you the victory. Let's go over here to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, we're about to end here. We've got about 5 minutes left before to turn the station over. Colossians chapter 2. And let's go read here. I think about 14. Let's go read verse 12. Start with verse 12. Buried with him in baptism. He's not talking about water baptism. You know, the word baptism means to be put into, to be fully immersed into. So, you know, you're so fully immersed into God that you're hidden in Christ. Your life is hidden in Christ. So you were buried with him in baptism, wherein also you all are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who had raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and your uncircumcision of your flesh, he had quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, thank God. Blotting out, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers. See, these principalities and powers are the evil spirits that you and I we run into what Paul is talking about. Principalities and powers. The rulers of darkness of this world run those spiritual beings. And we come against these things every day, but they are enemies that have been defeated because of Jesus. See, they're rebel forces. They're running around seeking who they may devour. That means we have to equip ourselves with knowledge of God's word that we can stand against the enemy. That he has nothing over you. He can't destroy you. He can't do anything against you unless you allow him. Amen. Can you say amen? So you have to understand, some people, you know, they read Ephesians 6, If you ever read Ephesians 6 and 12, where it said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in the heavenlies and so on, and they start shaking right away. But they don't know, they haven't read the first chapter where it says that we've been raised up with Jesus over all these spirits. And Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in chapter 1, he said, I pray for you. I pray that you might have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Verse 16, I think it is, in the knowledge of him, that your eyes of your understanding, in other words, your eyes of your spirit, that you may have, that they may be enlightened, or that you might have understanding, revelation and knowledge, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. In other words, what is the hope why he called you? Huh? And then also he talks about what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In other words, what belongs to you as a saint? What belongs to you as a Christian? We have an inheritance. You know? And God has raised him from the dead. Paul, you know, Pastor Ken was mentioning about this prayer. It's a prayer of that Paul prayed. It's a spirit-inspired prayer that we should pray for ourselves. I pray for this all the time for you guys. That God would open up your understanding, that you'd begin to know who you really are. You know, that God loves you. And that you're raised with Jesus. And you're sitting with him in heavenly places. Far above all principality power. You're looking down. Those spiritual powers are down there. And you're up there with Jesus in the heavenly realms. Jesus said, whatsoever you bind on earth. On earth, we have these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. We have to contend with them, but we have the name of Jesus, and Jesus already raised us up above them. They have no authority over you. And you have to stand against them. Don't be afraid of them, because they are destroyed. Now, let me look at this over here. Having spoiled principalities and powers. That word spoiled means he disarmed them. Everybody said disarmed. People say, oh yeah, I know that. You know, I heard that before. You can't teach me that. You know, I heard that before. Didn't we just talk about that last week? Yeah, but you need to hear it again. I see you've been pretty defeated lately. Been slapped around a little bit. Devil's been at your house half the time and eating another chicken brisket. Okay, so watch this. Having spoiled principality, another version have said that the devil, that Jesus paralyzed him. Put him to naught. It says, reduce him to zero as far as you're concerned. So we need to believe what the Bible says. That God hears your prayers. And that he actually, when you use the name of Jesus, he trembles, like the Bible says. And because our mind is not renewed, we haven't renewed our mind enough to know that's what it is. That we can come against this power. How many people know we need more education in this area? Spiritual powers, spiritual authority. God has given you power and authority over all devils. No matter what's going to happen, if you come up against a hard situation, I want you to know this. You know, this is a note from God that he's already destroyed. Now I'm going to read the rest of it here. And having spoiled principalities and powers, in other words, he reduced them to zero, or put them to naught, or he paralyzed them as far as him attacking you. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In other words, Jesus triumphed over them. And he gave us his victory. He didn't have to do this, but he did it for us. And thank God for it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus. You're for us. Hallelujah. And we close tonight thanking you today in advance that you have triumphed victoriously over the devil. That he's under our feet, that you're for us, and you're not against us, and nothing in our lives that's come against us can have victory over us. Let's go ahead and lift our hands in thanksgiving. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you in advance. In advance for every situation that has come against us tonight. We envision that scripture that says you triumphed over them. And the vision that the devil has been giving you in your mind, that you cannot overcome this problem. It's too big for you. It's your faith is not big enough. No, Jesus is the author and he is the finisher of your faith. He will carry you. Psalm 41 says, do not be afraid. I will strengthen you. And I will harden you to all the difficulties that he's trying to put against you. And you are my child. I'm not going to let you fall. I'm going to strengthen you. We thank you, Lord God, today. We thank you that we put on the armor of God, the full armor of God. And we say thank you, Lord God, for the victory. We thank you for the victory in advance. Maybe it's an area of the financial area. Maybe it's family problems. Maybe it's mental health, physical, emotional health. It could be any situation. We praise you in advance, thanking you right now. We're casting all our cares on you. Lord, I cast my family situation on you. I cast my care of my health on you right now. I cast my burdens of my loved ones on you right now. And you're caring for that, taking that for me right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I cast my marriage on you. I cast my concern about my work area, my job, in the name of Jesus. I cast this whole care about the COVID thing on you, Lord. You are my strength. You are my protection. We praise you and thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the anointing. And Lord, we break every power. In the name of Jesus, right now, we speak life. In the life of every single person in here. Every single person is standing against the devil's attack. In the name of Jesus, we cover each one with the blood of Jesus. And we say, devil, you must remove yourself from the premises of these people. Get away from their bodies. Get away from their minds and souls. Get away from their houses, their homes. Get away from their workplace, their job. Get your hands off their finances. In the name of Jesus. Angels, go and cause protection. Go and cause the answers to come. And bring those people out of that bad situation and bring them into the place where they can retrieve whatever they've lost. We thank you, Lord God, for anything that's lost can be given back. If it's health, finances, marriages, whatever it is. Only you can do that. You are for us. You'll fight for us. I don't have to fight this battle. Everybody say, I don't have to fight this battle. I'm not fighting by myself. Say, God is fighting for me. God is for me. Say, God loves me. I'm going to overcome all this situation right now. By faith, I believe in the name of Jesus that I have the victory. 1 John says, I have the victory, even my faith, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you, every one of you. Those of you watching online, we pray that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Hallelujah. That's not a joke. If you're watching online, wherever you are, if you've never had Jesus Christ, Lord of your life, just say, Jesus, come in my life. I believe you're the Son of God. Save me, I'm a sinner. And he'll come in your life. Wash me clean with your blood. I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Wherever you are, we see you Sunday. Amen.